When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is The Crossover, an NBA show hosted by Sports Illustrated's Chris Mannix and Howard Beck.
It's a whole new level for you and me, Chris, this relationship.
Like and subscribe for the best weekly NBA content these two are capable of.
What does that mean?
Could be the best duo ever.
I don't see how you can beat that.
Here they are, Chris Mannix and Howard Beck.
All right, every so often something happens in the NBA to warrant an emergency podcast. And Thursday night, it gave us something. The Boston Celtics have suspended head coach Ime Udoka for the entirety of the 2022-2023 season. Howard, I want to read the statement from the Celtics first. The Boston Celtics announced today that the team has suspended head coach Ime Udoka for the 2022-23 season for a violation of team policies. A decision about his future with the Celtics beyond this season will be made at a later date. The suspension takes effect immediately. A little bit later on, or shortly thereafter, Ime Udoka released a statement. He said, "I want to apologize to our players, fans, the entire Celtics organization, and my family for letting them down. I am sorry for putting the team in this difficult situation, and I accept the team's decision. Out of respect for everyone involved, I will have no further comment." ESPN has reported that Joe Mazzulla, the assistant coach, is going to be named interim coach. I have been told that as well. Those are the facts right now as we know them, Howard. Give me your initial reaction to a unprecedented suspension being issued by the Boston Celtics.
I think it is unprecedented. This is my 26th season I'm about to start. You've been at this for a long time as well. Neither in the time that I've been covering the league, nor to my knowledge in the time prior to that, is there any analog for this. I don't think we've seen a coach suspended for a full season. I certainly don't think we've seen a coach suspended for a full season who's coming off one of the best rookie coaching seasons we've ever seen, guiding the Celtics to the finals within a couple of wins of a championship. Rising star. I mean, more than rising star, established star at that point. He was a rising star during his time with the Spurs and the Sixers and the Nets. And he had just established himself as one of the best young coaches in the NBA, somebody who was in the running for coach of the year, somebody who had garnered a lot of respect, certainly from the Celtics themselves and across the league. And, you know, I will leave it to you to speak to whatever we know at this point, because you have the closer ties to this organization, about what the violations were. But obviously serious enough that the Celtics decided that honoring their own policies, honoring their standards, and whatever else folds into that, was more important than the consistency of having a very good young coach on the bench to try to guide this team back to the finals. That the ultimate transaction, or the ultimate balancing act here, weighed in favor of holding Ime Udoka accountable for his actions and suspending him for the season, even if it's at potentially the cost of them returning to the finals. Because that's the basketball matter. There are other serious matters here at work that should not be diminished. But in the ultimate calculation, the Celtics decided that doing the right thing and adhering to their policies was more important than what might transpire on the basketball court. So, I mean, it's fascinating on every level.
Yeah, this was obviously a significant transgression for the Celtics, a team that enters this season, as you said, with championship aspirations, to remove a coach who has been instrumental to their recent success. Ime Udoka, I mean, look, I was around that team all of last season. Ime Udoka had as much to do with their success as Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart. It was his no-nonsense approach that kind of molded them and shook off some of the, I don't know, can you shake off atrophy? But you know what I'm getting at there. Like kind of energized them in ways they haven't been energized in years past. So this had to have been something serious. Now, what do we know about this? Well, it's been widely reported that this was due to a relationship that Ime Udoka had with a female staffer. I can confirm that that is the case. Some variables that could have contributed to the length of the suspension. Number one, this person undoubtedly was a subordinate of Ime Udoka. He's the head coach. There aren't too many people in that organization who are not subordinate to him. So I believe that to be a variable. The marital status of the woman involved, that certainly could have been a variable that was taken into account by the Celtics when they made this decision. And then there's a lot of stuff that we don't know, right? Like we don't know how the relationship started, how the relationship ended, how it was brought to the attention of the Celtics organization. There's just a lot that's not out there right now about this situation to really speak with any kind of authority on what happened. But it goes without saying, this had to have been a very, very serious issue for Wick Grosbeck, Steve Pagliuca, the two co-owners of the Celtics, for Brad Stevens, the president of basketball operation, to take this step to suspend Ime Udoka and to suspend him in a way that certainly suggests, Howard, he's never coming back. It was explicitly laid out in that statement that a decision about Udoka's future will be made at a future date. I read that, and I think that one way or the other, this is not going to end with Ime Udoka as the head coach of this team next year. So, you know, for them to suspend and, in my mind, effectively fire Ime Udoka, this must have been a really significant transaction. I don't know if you have anything to, transgression. I don't know if you have anything to add to that, but like that's kind of the way I view it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's no other way but to view it. And I was caught by that same statement in or that sentence in their statement that, you know, if the Celtics had determined that a one-year suspension, which is, again, probably unprecedented in terms of, you know, for a coach being disciplined by his team, it's so, you know, it's so extensive on its own, you would think that that would suffice as the disciplinary measure. When you add on us another sentence that says, and we'll decide his actual future with the club sometime later, suggesting that you may not ever bring him back, it just underscores how serious this must have been. That whatever we think we know, or whatever we do know, whatever you've been able to report so far, what others have been able to report so far, clearly is just the tip of the iceberg. There is more to this. Maybe there are legal complications. Maybe there are other moral complications for all we know. I don't want to speculate on those things. But you don't suspend a coach for a full season and suggest that he may not be coming back at all unless there was a lot more to it. All that said, it's also a little puzzling, Chris, because if you're not convinced he should come back, why aren't you just firing him? Like that is a just on the logistical side of this. Like, why did they stop short of firing him? If it's so serious that it mandated a year or warranted a year suspension, if it's so serious that you're thinking that the year suspension might not be enough and we might have to fire him, why is he still employed at all? Like maybe we'll eventually get the answer to that question, but that part's a little puzzling. But if in fact they fire him, and under the cloud that he's being fired under, I mean, he's going to have gone from one of the most promising young coaches in the NBA and one who really delivered in his rookie season to potentially never a coach in this league again. That is a very rapid fall from grace if that's where this goes.
Correct. If that's where it goes, it would be incredible. It'd be wild. I mean, look, there's some precedence in a way. Gerson Rosas in Minnesota was fired after having a extramarital affair with a team employee. That also came in conjunction with, you know, ownership change and inconsistent performance and a loss of faith in Gerson within that organization. So it wasn't just about that. I mean, if you want to take it outside of the sports realm, Howard, we just saw at CNN Jeff Zucker get fired for reportedly having an extramarital affair with a married coworker. So, like, there's some precedence for some of it out there. I'm of the opinion at this point, and I don't want to trap myself too much because there is a lot we don't know. But it feels like to me this is more a problem between Ime Udoka and the Celtics than Ime Udoka down the line in the rest of the league. In other words, at least as far as I'm able to glean from the situation, like, Ime may never coach with the Celtics again. I don't believe it's a situation where he may never coach again. I just think this is the kind of thing that is recoverable for him, though maybe not recoverable in Boston. Again, there's a lot we don't know.
Yeah. I'm not saying that's a given. I'm saying that that's on the table. And especially because you and I both know coaches don't get, you know, some coaches get second and third chances in this league. And I'm just talking competitively now. I'm not talking about other things. And some don't. Like, it's a thin line. And there's a lot of candidates, and there's constantly another crop of young assistants coming up. Like, it depends on how big this cloud actually is, Chris. He's being disciplined, for the moment suspended, maybe later fired, under a pretty considerable cloud. And considering that you and I, you know, both, you know, have this sense that this has never happened before, that's going to make an impact on how other people around the league view him. So, we'll see. There may be more details to come. This may be more serious than the Gerson Rosas situation. And Gerson Rosas, to your point, yes, is back in the league as a consultant with the Knicks, but he is a consultant. He's not, you know, and he was thrown a lifeline by some folks who had ties to him. And, you know, that can happen too in this league, and could happen for Ime Udoka too. But I don't know that we're ever going to see Gerson Rosas run a team again in this league. We'll see. Can we turn this to the basketball for a minute? I mean, I don't want to diminish any of this, but listen, we cover the NBA, and before too long here, we're going to have media days and training camps, and we're going to start talking about basketball again. And the Celtics, absolutely, I think, co-favorites with the Bucks to come out of the East. They're not the only teams that could come out of the East, but they're the top tier. What do we know about Joe Mazzulla, who's only 34 years old and has had one small head coaching stint? Not in the NBA, of course, and has only been in the NBA for a couple of years at all. And why is it him and not, say, Brad Stevens coming back from the front office to coach the team that he already well knows?
This is a great question, and it's a question I'll be addressing on Friday on SI.com. I don't know the answer. Joe Mazzulla, let's just start there. 34 years old, has coached, I believe, a couple of years at the Division II level, has been in the NBA for about 3 years. He is considered a rising star in the game. He was a finalist for the Utah Jazz job over the summer. That ultimately went to Will Hardy, who shared the bench with Joe Mazzulla. But I can tell you from reporting on that process that the Jazz, Danny Ainge, who used to effectively be Joe's boss, very impressed by him. So he is a future head coach in the NBA. And to some degree, Brad Stevens deserves the benefit of the doubt when it comes to tabbing the right coach for this team. I mean, Ime Udoka was not this home run candidate when the Celtics hired him a year plus ago. He had been an assistant for a long time, and he probably would have gotten a job at some point, but it wasn't like he was this guy that everyone was clamoring for. The Celtics hired him, turned out to be a great fit, turned out to be a great coach. Maybe the Celtics see something similar in Joe Mazzulla, which is why he was bypassed for over, or passed over guys like Damon Stoudemire, who have some more experience. He's on the Celtics bench. Ben Sullivan, who coached the summer league team, he's got a little bit more experience. He's on the Celtics bench. Maybe Brad Stevens sees something in Joe Mazzulla. He was on Brad's staff for a couple of years, so maybe he understands the acumen, the basketball acumen of Joe Mazzulla. But you asked a legitimate question. Why is Brad Stevens not coming down to coach this team? The best coach in the building is Brad Stevens. He has been a candidate, a finalist. I forget how high he got in the Coach of the Year rankings, but he has been up there. He is widely considered one of the better basketball minds in the NBA. I know he doesn't really want to coach anymore, but for 1 year, to me, the best coach of this team is Brad Stevens, because Brad Stevens knows the players, knows their tendencies, knows everything that worked last year. It just seems like he's the right fit, and I can't seem to fully grasp why he's not taking on that role. I mean, do you think there's, I mean, what do you think? Do you think there's a reason that Brad Stevens isn't doing this?
I mean, I do think, Chris, for one, so, you know, having seen a very, very different version of this years ago when Isaiah Thomas, as team president, was assigned by Jim Dolan, the owner of the Knicks, to also coach the team after they fired Larry Brown. It was basically like, you know, you made this cake, you deal with it, right? Like, this is your doing. This is your roster, and you prove that this was actually a worthwhile endeavor, and that this wasn't just about Larry Brown screwing up, essentially. Very, very different context. But Isaiah had to be, for that year, both president and coach. We've seen other versions of people pursuing intentionally the dual role of team president or GM and coach. Stan Van Gundy in Detroit and Thibodeau in Minnesota. It has not gone well for most people, aside from Popovich, and it's difficult to do. Does Brad Stevens, having made the transition just a year ago to the front office, is he really interested in having to reassume the coaching role while also still having his front office responsibilities? That would be one. Two, I think there was a recognition at the time that it's not just that, you know, the cliche about your voice starts to lose its effectiveness. You know, they need a new voice. They need a new. I always kind of felt like Brad Stevens, for all of his basketball acumen and his abilities as a tactician, it seemed pretty clear to me that temperamentally he was not the kind of coach who was ever going to call guys out publicly or really get into them or hold them accountable in a way that we just don't see very often in today's league, to be honest. He's not the only one. It's not even really a criticism. It's kind of more the norm than not these days. You don't have those old school coaches who are going to get on guys, but sometimes you need that old school approach. And it certainly seemed like the Celtics needed it. And it certainly seemed like, after initially kind of chafing at Ime Udoka being more of an old school, aggressive, in your face kind of head coach, they then started to respond to it, and it galvanized them. And it's part of their success of last season. So for Brad Stevens to come back down and coach them now with his personality, it almost feels like it's a step backward for everyone. Maybe it's even a little awkward because they responded to Ime in a way that they maybe weren't responding to Brad anymore.
I think they did. And if you told me that Joe Mazzulla was going to call out players in the same way that Ime Udoka did, I could maybe understand that transition. Look, Joe Mazzulla, part of his responsibilities last year were being involved in that defense, the NBA's top-rated defense, so there is some kind of symmetry there. He was promoted to the front of the bench after Will Hardy left for the Jazz. So, you know, there's reasons here. And maybe, look, maybe if you're Brad Stevens, maybe you're playing kind of a long game here. Like, maybe you know that Ime Udoka is not coming back, and you're trying to advance the next Ime Udoka. Maybe you look at Joe Mazzulla as being the next long-term head coach of the Boston Celtics. Again, he was considered for that Jazz job. He's been considered for other jobs around the league. Maybe if you're Brad Stevens, you're trying to make this transition as seamless as you possibly can. I can sort of understand that argument. At the same time, like, this is a championship team. Like, this team can win this year. You add Malcolm Brogdon. You've got organic growth from your young players. Al Horford looks like he can play another couple of years. There's a window here. And to maximize that window, don't you need the best coach in the building doing the job? I mean, it sort of feels like you got Pat Riley up there in a way, like sitting there. And maybe Joe Mazzulla is Eric Spoelstra. Maybe he's not. But I just think we might look back on this 6 months from now and wonder why Brad Stevens didn't take this job.
I will say that I do not envy Joe Mazzulla at all in this position, right? Like, here he is, a virtual unknown, not unknown to the Celtics, like he's been on that staff, so they know him, but still a virtual unknown being thrust into this position with a team with championship aspirations that was in the finals just a matter of months ago, and with Ime Udoka still looming there too. So you have full authority for the season, and you have the clarity of knowing that Ime is not coming back, at least for this season. Okay, but unless they fire him, and until they do, he's looming there. So how much juice do you really have on that bench? How, you know, if you want to follow the Ime Udoka kind of template and be more of that, you know, old school, hard ass, hold guys accountable. And I don't know if that's the way Joe Mazzulla is built anyway, but you don't have the same juice. You don't have the long-term contract, and you're going to have an interim tag on you. So I think that's tough as well. Also, every stumble along the way, whether it's about coaching or not, will eventually be about, I wonder if this would be the case if they had the stability of having Ime Udoka there instead of Joe Mazzulla, right? Even if it's because, you know, somebody's just in a shooting slump, even if it's because whatever guys, you know, just blew their assignments on a given play on a given night and a given, clutch time, whatever it may be, the scrutiny on Joe Mazzulla is going to be intense. And I fair or unfair, I think if they fall short this season and any moments during the season where it feels like they are backsliding, it's going to be the first question that's raised. Well, is it because of the instability? Is it because of the change at the head of the bench? Is it because Joe Mazzulla can't push the buttons the same as effectively as Ime Udoka did? So I just don't even envy him that. Like, if this were just a middle-of-the-pack team in these same circumstances, it would still be tough. But man, this is one of five or six teams in the NBA that could win it all this season. And that just ratchets it up.
Well, media day just around the corner. Something tells me we're going to have a lot to talk about when we reconvene on Tuesday, Howard.
No doubt. Way too much probably to talk about. It might need to be a 3-hour episode.
Hopefully not.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.